Welcome to Stock Talk, the new Stockhouse podcast series that brings you behind-the-scenes insights into trending topics from capital markets, influencers, and entrepreneurs, broadcasting from the heart of the financial district in beautiful downtown Vancouver.
I'm Dave Jackson, editorial writer here at Stockhouse Media. This podcast is part of our metals and mining sector interview series, and our mission going forward is to help listeners and investors understand more about investment opportunities in the public marketplace. This year, the price of gold has skyrocketed as much as 20%, hitting a peak of $1,549 per ounce in September. As recession fears mount amid global uncertainty, investors have piled into gold, long known as a safe haven asset. This has pushed up the price and changed the game for dozens of industries. With the price of gold rising, it has boosted the value of gold mining companies since they stand to make more money on output. Scorpio Gold Corp. is a Canadian company engaged in mineral exploration and development, primarily in the U.S. Southwest. The company holds a 100% interest in the Mineral Ridge Gold Mining Project, located in the northwest of the town of Silver Peak in Esmeralda County, Nevada. Its other project includes the Gold Wedge property located within the Manhattan Mining District of South Central Nevada. Today, we're very pleased to be joined by Murray Bockhold, Scorpio Gold Company Director and CEO of Bockhold Investment Management. As the chair of the ad hoc committee of Twin Butte Energy and working with Bennett Jones and Macquarie Capital, the ad hoc successfully unlocked $100 million of value on behalf of debenture holders. Mr. Bockhold is a strong advocate for shareholder and investor rights and currently serves as the court-appointed trustee for Griffin Gold Corporation. First of all, thanks for joining us, Murray. And for our investor audience, can you tell us a bit about yourself and the Scorpio opportunity?
Oh, thank you, Dave. I'd be pleased to. It's a pleasure to be here.
Good to have you.
I've been in the investment business for 35 years. I started at Burns Fry. I've managed a model portfolio and have a track record that dates back to 1988. It's top tier, top 5%, actually stacked up against, and it's recorded, stacked up against the markets and against other money managers. One of the reasons for the success of our returns over time has been taking a deep dive into specific opportunities. I would call them rifle shots. We've got a broad standard portfolio, lots of names everybody would recognize, but we uncover certain stories sometimes, see particular value, see a particular gap between intrinsic value and stock market enterprise value or market cap. And we look to assist and take a proactive role oftentimes as an advocate, not as an activist, with management teams, to try to narrow that gap. Examples of this in the past have been QLT. People in Vancouver will probably all remember that name. We were very early on in that story, around $6, saw the opportunity for Visudyne before the market did, positioned ourselves for it. As it turned out, it was tremendously successful. The stock went to $123. Of course, it then ran into problems after that, but that's a different different element of it. Same thing in Extendicare. Saw an opportunity, I guess this would be in 2004, we were first involved in Extendicare. Saw an opportunity, actually not dissimilar to Scorpio in the sense that there was asset values that were far in excess of the stock market capitalization. In this case, it was nursing homes in the United States. There was about $1 billion of unrealized value. And over the course of, and it was a messy situation at the time. This is another area where we're comfortable in messy situations. I've got a background in bankruptcy and very familiar and comfortable in that environment. Lots of people aren't, but oftentimes there's gold nuggets, pardon the pun, but there's in bankruptcy or messy situations.
Right.
And so we surfaced the value in Extendicare. It was $4 to $28 in the space of a couple of years. Tree Island Steel is another opportunity. Twin Butte, you mentioned in the intro. Clearly an opportunity there, a bid that was a very unusual bid because we have a very strong alignment of interest with our shareholders or with our clients. So our own money, my own money, is invested in the same instruments the clients are in. So we really try to remove conflicts of interest and we try to create alignment of interest. So whether that's in debentures, common shares, debentures and common shares, we try to position ourselves in a way where we're very much aligned. And we take an advocate role unless we have to become an activist. And in right. the case of Twin Butte, we had to become an activist because that transaction was actually precedent setting in Canada, what they originally tried to do. And so we pushed back hard, the debenture holders in this case, and surfaced a lot of value on behalf of shareholders. And we were really sort of a white knight. And in Scorpio, that's exactly what we are in Scorpio. We're a white knight, and we saved them from a situation, and which we'll talk about more. But that's at the root of that investment, and the opportunity we see in that investment is, again, this gap between intrinsic value, the value of the assets, and the value of the capitalization in the market.
So, Maria, how did you first get involved with Scorpio?
Well, Dave, the answer to that stems from my involvement as custodian of Griffin Gold, where we're spearheading a $300 million lawsuit. So we've been keeping an eye on lenders in the market and their business models, I guess is the best way to say it, and have uncovered there's an opportunity where we have leverage to use that leverage successfully in negotiating against certain lenders. And we did that with Scorpio, where we saw that Scorpio was going to lose the Mineral Ridge property to the lender. And we successfully prevented that from happening, buying out the lender at 50 cents on the dollar, and also retaining or earning back their 30% equity stake in the property, which brought back the stake in Mineral Ridge to 100% for Scorpio Gold. And of course, it always has had 100% of Gold Wedge. So that's what brought us into the story. And now with the opportunity is to, what do we do with the asset?
So in a June 2019 Stockhouse article, we talked about the overall strength of the Mineral Ridge and Gold Wedge assets and the strong rebounds due to the improved climate for mining in the region. Can you update our investor audience on any new initiatives, drill programs, assay results, et cetera?
I'd be happy to. We came at this from a sum of the parts perspective at the beginning, where we just looked at the hard assets. The 43-101 shows the value of the hard assets, NPV at 5% of $35 million US. There's the assets at Mineral Ridge themselves, all the equipment that's there. There's probably $4 or $5 million of appraised value than that. There's $6 million of bonds that have been posted in reclamation. There's $4 million of cash that we put in, net of the payment out to the lender. And there's also the assets at Gold Wedge, which include a mill. So roughly speaking, $5 million of value there. So when you add all of those pieces up, the valuation of Scorpio in the market relative to those was about 10 cents on the dollar. Mm-hmm. So that's what attracted us to it in the first place. Since then, if you go into the, let's just backtrack for a second.
Sure.
Based on that alone, in terms of asset value, that adds up to about $54 million US, which, based on the number of shares outstanding today of 62.5 million, is about 86 cents US or $1.13 Canadian. Mm-hmm. If you do it on a fully diluted basis, that turns out to 35 cents or 46 cents per share Canadian. The other key aspect we saw is the team. There's an excellent team that have know this property inside out and have been operating on it for many years and produced 250,000 ounces. It's a brownfield operation, so there's not the same, there's not new exploration risk. There's not new metallurgy risk and all of that. We know that the mines operated and produced a lot of gold. Mm-hmm. So the opportunity here is taking that expertise and injecting capital to bring in the new CIL plant so that we can process the heap that's there and get the recoveries up from 65 to more like 90%. And then also take the other gold that's on the property, the run of mine that's there. So there's about 250,000 ounces. And that value today, the 43-101 was done at 1250 gold. If you go on into the website and go to the presentation, you will see that at today's price, you know, that translates more to $68 million for the NPV. So nice. When you add the sum of the parts up for that, you're getting $1.84 in value for the Canadian or for the equity on a non-diluted basis, and on a fully diluted basis, 74 cents. So shares that are trading in the market today at 8 cents actually have a justifiable NAV price of 74 cents using metrics that are already out in the market. And that doesn't include any blue sky opportunity. Mm-hmm. That doesn't include any. There's only about 5% of the property that's been drilled out. So there's a lot of opportunity to drill on the property. And that, you know, that's obviously all blue sky.
Nice. Now, recently, Goldman Sachs Group upgraded its gold forecast for the first time this year, upping its 3 and 6 month projections to $1,600 an ounce in light of escalating trade war tensions and the perceived risk of recession. Obviously, this is good news for Scorpio and its shareholders.
Yeah, it is. I mean, there's a big question out there these days that all investors face, which is how, at the end of the day, does all of this money injection and negative interest rates and yields and all of that, you know, we're definitely living in a period that there is no precedent for. And so it's, you just don't know yet how that's going to unwind itself. You know, one of the traditional yardsticks has always been gold. It's always been a hard commodity to read because it doesn't actually have a lot of physical use, but it does have a lot of, there's definitely an appetite by investors as a safe haven in gold. So sure. When there's tremendous uncertainty and you don't know how something's going to unfold, and there's also costs that are involved in producing gold today, and there isn't that much new gold. So the supply-demand factors are favorable for gold too. So I don't know where the price of gold's going to go. I just know that it's unlikely it's going to get a lot worse than what we've already seen. This company can make a lot of money at the current price of gold. And obviously, there's a lot of upside leverage if the gold price were to get, you know, improve over the next 5 or 10 years.
And there's a strong ROI right now with the company in terms of extracting gold from these particular two projects.
Yeah, I mean, we have to put the financing in place to do it. And we're out talking to lenders now, and we expect that we'll be successful eventually in securing those people. And if we aren't, for whatever reason, we always have merger M&A opportunities. Those are always out there. I mean, you can't have hard assets like we have and not be able to surface value. The only question is, how much value do you surface?
100%.
And obviously, if we have some exploration success, then that adds to that pot. But even without that, there's a very solid value in this business in it, as is where is today.
Can you discuss the long-term strategy for the company, and how do you see the gold exploration sector evolving in this part of the world?
Well, as you know, Nevada jurisdictionally is about as good a place as you can operate as there is. You know, you just don't have the risks that you have operating offshore. You know, they are friendly to mining. They've always been friendly to mining. I don't think that that's going to change. And if you ask anybody in the industry, they'll all identify, you know, or recognize and agree. So that's clearly a positive. Obviously, we talked about what may happen to the price of gold, but the other aspect of this, which is very is a very real part of the opportunity here, is going back to the Griffin story. You know, we ultimately think we're going to be successful through the regulatory process, through the court process, in regaining that asset, and that's a very significant asset, and it's only two and a half hours away from Mineral Ridge. Mm-hmm. Our lawsuit's $300 million U.S. lawsuit. So if we do ultimately have success there, then it makes all kinds of sense to be merging those two businesses, and you know, do proper valuations, proper corporate governance, put a value on Scorpio, put a value on Griffin, and do a share amalgamation. That would, you know, that has the potential to, you know, in, you know, make this company a 80,000 plus ounce annual producer, which is a very, you know, a different, whole different scale. And you know, you do the math on the EBITDA that could be generated from both of those operations, and it becomes very significant numbers. So got a ways to go to achieve that, but it's something that's out there. And that's something that other gold stories don't have. Either, you know, when you look at the comps that we, you know, you compare us against, and I guess that's another good point to bring up, Dave, is stock investing is a relative game of risk reward and relative to what the comps are that you could have invested in, the other companies you can invest in. And as we've shown in the presentations, you know, our relative value, enterprise value to things like gold ounces of proven and probable or annual production stacks us up extremely favorably. We're at a quarter, a tenth of, you know, of the values of the Golden Queens, the Kerr Mines, the Northern Vertexes. You know, we've done the analysis. So again, that just points to what the upside potential is that investors are already paying these values for these other companies. Mm-hmm. we've got all the same assets, you know, and plus we have this other asset in the merger potential with Griffin down the road one day. So there's lots of different ways of slicing and dicing this and adding value.
Great stuff. Now, what's next for Scorpio? What should we be watching for in the upcoming months?
You can be watching for obviously the drill programs. There'll be results coming out and on an ongoing basis, because it will be now a regular part of the business is to continue to explore. So that can be expected. We are working hard at securing the financing and have a number of people that we're pursuing that with. And I do expect we will have success. The fortunate part is we've got the treasury is well stocked and the burn rate is not that high. I mean, it is because we are still producing residual gold off the heaps. And so, you know, we're just hard at work at doing the things that we control to surface the value.
Great. Now, what sets Scorpio Gold apart? We mentioned some of the comps earlier from some of these other junior miners in this space. And what makes Scorpio's business model particularly attractive to investors?
I think there's probably three answers to that. One is just going back and talking again about the team. One of the most important things in my experience in dealing with management and boards and all that is people make a difference. And you know, if you have the right team, it's amazing what you can accomplish if you have versus having the wrong team. And we've got a strong team. And so the other one is goes back to the risk reward and the fact that this is a brownfield operation. There isn't the same level of risk in a restart like this that there is in other enterprises. And the third one is, and again, we touched on this earlier, but I want to emphasize it is there's blue sky opportunity. You know, yeah. Like it's not like that doesn't exist. It does exist. And whether we have success with it or not, I don't know.
Right.
We're going to find out though, mm-hmm. right? It's not that we're not going to be drilling. We're, you know, it's not that we're not going to be fine. So, you know, will we? Well, again, we'll find out. But that exists.
Now, finally, Murray, what can you tell our investor audience regarding the current valuation of your stock and why it's a good value buy right now?
Well, again, just go back to the comments earlier, and it really is the relative valuation to the comps, and even more specific than that, it's the relative valuation to things like replacement value and to net asset value. And, you know, the gold in the ground is the gold in the ground. There's 250, 40, whatever thousand ounces. And we've got, you know, 43-101s. And if you go do the analysis, that's right in the sensitivity of the price change to gold, that value just went up by virtue of the change in the price of gold. You know, the asset value is there. And the upside, you know, as I said, the discovery ups or the exploration upside is there. So it's and the relative value on a fully diluted basis, mm-hmm. when you're talking those 50, 60, 70, 80 cent per share fully diluted net asset value numbers for shares that trade at 8 cents today, I can't explain that gap. It seems to me that that's a bit of a wide gap. So, you know, it's to me that looks like opportunity, and I've been doing this for 35 years and my own money's in this. My own money's going to continue to go into this. You know, I plan on buying more shares. As long as that intrinsic value gap is as wide as it is, you know, we're no different than Warren Buffett or anybody else. You know, we're constantly monitoring the valuation gap between intrinsic value of a business and the current stock price. And if the gap looks too big, we're buyers.
Right. Well, if I've left anything out in the discussion so far, I'll open the floor up to you if there's anything else that you'd like to add to the podcast.
Yeah, I think the only last item I'd like to add, and there will be more information on this coming from investors, is on this theme of the need for regulatory reform in Canada. Mm-hmm. There's been some good articles recently in the Globe and Mail on this. The whole... In the world of short selling and the world of debt and debt equity swaps, there is a large gap between the regulations that are in place to protect shareholders in the public domain, yeah. and the way the market is working today. And that's a gap we're working diligently to close, and we intend on getting there. We're working with the IMET and the RCMP. We're working with the BCSC. We're working with the OSC. We're working really like with all the regulators to go, you know, and this is a really particularly Canadian phenomena. Where there needs to be change. And there is a long history of Canadian shareholders in many, many, many companies. And this is a lot of this is documented at my website, bockeldinvestment.com. And there's a history of abuse. And part of it is because the laws haven't been put there to prevent it. So somebody's arbitraged it. That's what markets do. And they've arbitraged it in a way that's not friendly to public shareholders. And so we're pushing with the regulators to make the necessary changes to prevent those things from happening.
Well, it's important work, and good luck with that, Murray.
Thanks very much.
We've been speaking with Scorpio Gold Director Murray Bockhold. I'd like to once again thank Murray for joining us in studio live here at Stockhouse and for joining us and sharing this helpful and insightful information about your company with our Stockhouse podcast listeners and investors. I'm Dave Jackson for Stockhouse Media and the Stock Talk Metals and Mining Sector Podcast. Thanks very much for listening.
Just a reminder to follow us on social media at Stockhouse for the latest updates on all your favorite public companies in North America. For more in-depth coverage, industry news, and to connect with our active investor community, you can visit our website at stockhouse.com. Also, don't forget to visit our new and improved Stockhouse Deal Room on site for unique and exclusive private placement opportunities only available on stockhouse.com.